Hey guys, and welcome to episode 16 of the Game of Death podcast. I'm your host Chris, and with me tonight is Caleb.
What's up, guys?
What's going on, Katrin?
Not much. We just talked a week ago.
We did.
We're back in a regular. That was not what I was thinking. I was thinking we're back in a regular pattern, theoretically.
Well, yeah, I'm gonna make sure that I don't miss any of these podcasts because it seems like it's the only fucking time we get to talk to you.
Maybe.
fuck you.
We gotta keep going on Thursdays. Not too much. We talked about Control a little bit last time.
And then I found out about Control.
And then you found out about Control because I was like, Control's the fucking shit. You gotta play it. And then you went and you watched an LP of it.
Well, no. What happened was everybody talked about the ties to Alan Wake.
Yeah, I saw that.
And Alan Wake is one of my all-time favorite games. And there are, like, super hardcore ties to Alan Wake in Control.
Yeah, and I guess people were going crazy about it because of an interview that they did with one of the creative directors of that game.
Right.
Which was kind of funny because people were like, oh my god, all the stuff she said. And I was like, dude, it's right there in the game. If you pay attention to, like, what you're reading, there's a lot of lore in that game. There is a fuck ton of lore in that game. If you're picking up every little piece of paper, and you're reading everything, there's so much stuff to get through. It's interesting, but it's very Bioshocky that way.
The coolest thing that I've seen so far is that people are saying that it's going to tie hard into Alan Wake because Control and all the characters in Control, the whole thing with Control, is it's the story being written by Alan Wake to get himself out of the darkness.
I could see that.
And then they just released pictures of the DLC, the first DLC for Control, yeah. And it's clearly Alan Wake.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw that.
So, is this how they make a new Alan Wake game?
I guess. I feel like this being something that Alan Wake wrote in order to get himself out of Alan Wake is a bit of a stretch, and if it's not, it's bad writing. I'm just gonna say that. Like, I love Alan Wake. Alan Wake is a great game, don't get me wrong. I fucking love that game. I thought it was one of the coolest things ever when it came out. Control is way cooler than Alan Wake.
Right. Control
is way more interesting. But
what they're saying is that because you know how Alan Wake is a paranormal?
Yeah.
He was actually created by the original guy at the lake.
Yeah.
Like, he's not really a person. And then in Control, how they rescue people from the darkness sometimes, and they do this and that. Well, the theory is that all of that was written by Alan Wake to make, like, lore-wise, not gameplay-wise, lore-wise.
Yeah, no, I get and it. That, and that's an,
that,
yeah,
that he created them to get him out, but if you read about it, Arden Lake, I can't remember the name of the group that you're a part of in Control, but if you read about it, they created the stuff, like, they helped possibly develop the stuff, which is why Arden Lake's a thing. So, it's like a vicious circle, the snake eating its own tail.
I guess.
Yeah, which I think would be really cool. That if they send, what's the main character in Control, Sam?
In this game?
Yes, Control.
I already forgot her name. It's not Dylan. I think that's her brother. It's some Jesse.
I knew it was a dude, a dude or chick name.
Yeah.
But supposedly she might go into the darkness to rescue Alan Wake out of the darkness. Alan Wake even shows up in the game.
Yes, I believe he does.
Yeah.
And you get a piece of his writing, or someone, or writing from someone who seems to be in touch with him. Literally writing about where he is and what's happening and about how he's going to get absent.
Yeah, him in the darkness, yep.
Is a piece of lore you find that's super random.
Yeah. And there's a lot of ties to American Nightmare, too, if anybody played that.
The Ocean View Motel, that's American Nightmare, right?
Yes.
That's the first thing I thought when I got there. Because I'd never played that game, but I knew a little bit about it.
Yes. That's all in the darkness. That's all what happens with Alan while he's in the darkness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Control's a really fucking good game.
Yeah, I want to play it. I just don't have the money for it right now.
Yeah. But you guys should play Control. You know what I am playing, which is also a really good game, but which maybe not everybody thinks is a very good game.
What's that?
Final Fantasy VIII.
Oh, that's not bad. I like eight. Oh. I like eight more than nine.
Eight gets a very bad rap for a couple different reasons, which I think are fair criticisms, but I still feel they are very outsized as far as criticisms. I feel like the other games have just as many criticisms. They're just much more evident in eight. But like, if you're willing to go with along with them, they're not that bad. I was going to say the story has some definite problems, but if you're willing to like lean into the shonen anime bullshit, it's pretty entertaining. And a lot of the characters are really interesting. You were going to say, probably, I'm guessing you're going to say the junction system.
The draw system. People hate that you have to draw magic out of the enemies.
Yes. And with, yeah, and I consider that a part of the junction system, which is a super, super weird stat system that they came up with for Final Fantasy VIII. I think it was really creative, and I think it's a really interesting thing to attempt. I don't know if they really hit the mark with what they were trying to do. And I've been talking about this a lot with my buddy who I'm playing through it with over SharePlay, because Junction is a system where it's really easy to fuck yourself immediately and just be screwed over the rest of the game if you can even progress at all. It's also a system where you can immediately just break it and then just step all over everyone if uh-huh. you know what you're doing. Uh-huh. But it's such a weird, finicky thing. It's like, it's almost like they took the entire concept of Final Fantasy in a nutshell and they tried to deconstruct it. Because like pretty much every Final Fantasy game, all of your characters fit into basic fantasy archetypes based on Final Fantasy 1, except for Final Fantasy 3 and 5, but that's because those are built around job systems. Final Fantasy 8 completely does away with that altogether, and it's just like, whatever, you're going to get magic and you're going to attach them to stats and you're going to create these little build packages and you're just going to move those build packages between your characters whenever you want. And everybody's going to do whatever you want them to do, because whatever. It's like this weird postmodern approach. And it's ambitious. Again, I don't think it worked, but it's interesting if you know what to do with it. You can, like I said, just kind of step all over everyone. And the card system is really fun.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's like the one thing that I really wanted to go back and play through 8, is because I think that the card game, the card minigame in 8 is one of the best Final Fantasy minigames.
Yes. And the funny thing is, if you start playing the card game right away at the beginning of the game, you can immediately start playing your cards against high-level card players. And if you beat them, you will get high-level cards that you can turn into high-level magic, and then you will bulldoze through everything.
Yeah, that's how you play that game.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. This is a little complex for 15-year-old Caleb, but it makes a lot of sense to 30-year-old Caleb.
Yeah, you play the card game because you can get the high-level magic and the high-level shit from the cards of the high-level players, and then once you can fight death so that you can have death as a... They're not called Aeons, they're not called Summons. What the fuck are they called?
GFs.
GFs. Then you... So you use the items so that you can fight death to get him as a GF, you use your high-level magic, you kill him, and then you just use death and just steamroll, like, I think it's like the first three quarters of the game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a fun game, though. It's fun. We're going through very slowly but surely.
Like I said, I like it a lot better than I like 9.
Oh, I still really love 9, but 9 is a different... 9 is a very different game.
I think my biggest thing with 9 is it leans too heavily on, like, Final Fantasy's history.
It kind of does. I think it does some interesting things later on in the game when you get there, but it definitely is meant to be... It definitely is meant to play on a lot of the original tropes and things of the series.
Correct.
Especially with the thief as a main character. Yeah. I think that's a callback to 6, but...
How's that a callback to 6?
Your thief is a main... The thief is mostly your main character, right? That's your protagonist. That's Locke.
Locke is the protagonist only for, like, maybe the first 20 minutes of that game.
I think he's the protagonist for the first, like, half of it, right? I mean, you get other characters that are important, but you have an ensemble cast.
See, I would say that Edgar is more of a main character than Locke is.
Which one is
the King of Figaro?
It's been a while since I played this game.
And Terra, and I think Terra's, like, the main character of that game.
I think she is definitely one of them.
Like, the whole game revolves around her.
I think there are a few very prominent characters, and then there's a few not so prominent characters. I still think Locke is one of the main ones, and like, well, I feel like there's like a main tier, and then there's a secondary tier.
Okay, I'll agree with you on that. I just wouldn't say that Locke is like the only main character of that game.
Okay.
Six is my favorite Final Fantasy. I played through that game like once a year.
Okay. Edgar is fun too. Yeah, Edgar and his brother?
Seven,
is that
yes.
in this one?
Yes, that's Seven. Yep. And you do, you do Hyduk and to Blitz.
Yes, and you Izuna drop trains.
Yes. Yes, you do.
You do.
I don't think like Six, I don't think like Moog is a main character or Cecil or Setzer or...
See, I love Final Fantasy VI, but that is, if I had any critiques of that game, that is the one critique. I would say they tried to have so many characters that half of them don't matter. Like,
but
Yeti,
they all play so differently.
They play differently, but like in terms of the story, they don't necessarily add anything. Like Yeti, his character is that he's a Yeti. That's his character. Like, it just doesn't... It's fun mechanically. It just doesn't necessarily change the story a whole lot.
You know who else is like that? Yuffie from Final Fantasy VII. She's a teenage girl ninja. Congratulations.
She's a teenage girl she's a teenage girl ninja.
Like, that is her character.
Yeah.
And she's become like a main... People recognize her as a main character. She's a hidden character. You know who wasn't a throwaway character in Final Fantasy VII? Vincent, because you get a lot more of the background of Shinra and stuff when you unlock him. When you unlock him.
Vincent legitimately has a lot to do with the lore of that game.
Correct.
Yuffie does not.
No.
Yuffie is interesting. You could take her on a date, but...
You know what Yuffie is? The precursor to Riku from 10.
Yeah... Hold your horses 1 second. Are you telling me that Riku is a better version of Yuffie?
Yes, I am.
You know what? You're not wrong.
I'm not.
You're not wrong. I like Riku. I like all the characters in 10. Riku's a little goofy, but she's fun. She legitimately is just a better version than Yuffie now that I think about it.
Yeah,
she actually has a character.
Exactly. You know, Final Fantasy is not good. 12.
Yeah, I'm still on the fence about picking up Zodiac Age for Switch just to give it another try this many years later. But I don't know.
12 would have been good if they had left what they originally had planned.
Before they completely tried to flip it. Which always works.
If anybody out there doesn't know the history of Final Fantasy XII, originally Ben was not the main character of that game.
That was originally going to be Bosch, right?
Yes, Bosch was the main character of the game, and Squeenix was like, he's not pretty enough.
So they made another main character who doesn't entirely work as a main character, and as a result, I feel like nobody's a main character. Except for maybe Ash, kind of.
No, Bosch is the main... If you watch that story, Bosch is still the main character of that story.
He's very prominent. He's more prominent than some of the others.
He's more prominent than the main character of that game.
He was. That was one of my problems with that game, too, is that it just doesn't feel like that many people stand out. Bosch is kind of cool. Bunny Girl's character is that she's literally a bunny girl. That's her character. Like,
isn't that from?
It was. Yeah. I think she's silent for most of the game.
I don't know.
What's his name was supposed to be kind of like a cool suave gunman guy, but mostly I just thought he was bland. I don't even remember their names. I don't even fucking care anymore.
Isn't that Bosch, the guy with the gun?
No, that's Bosch von Ronsenberg is the general who you break out of the prison.
The guy that you rescue.
Yeah, no, that's not the gunman. Bosch fights with I think he normally fights with a sword, although it's a job system, so you can make him do whatever. No, Fran runs with the weird gunman guy.
Right.
Whose name I can't remember. Balthier.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, Bosch is the one that kind of looks like a main Final Fantasy character.
Yeah, Bosch is the one that kind of looks
with
like...
the scar on his face, like most
the
main
one,
Final Fantasy characters have.
He looks like an older, more grizzled version of Heath Ledger.
Yeah, a little bit. He kind of looks like Liquid Snake.
Yeah, I can see that. didn't see that. I only ever remember his name because of the stupid minigame you get to play where you run around saying you're Bosch. And also because of the Mega 64 video where they did that at a farmer's market. it was great. One of the guys running around yelling at people. Anyway, speaking of Final Fantasy, well, what else are you playing before we move on? What are you playing?
What am I playing these days?
What are you playing these days?
Age of Empires 3.
I know what you're going to be playing tonight, but what are you playing in the past? What have you played in the past few days?
Age of Empires 3.
That's cool.
Nothing really. I'm so excited. We are on the eve of Borderlands 3, so I am so pumped for Borderlands 3.
We are on the eve of Borderlands 3.
Caleb's not going to get to play till Sunday. Me and Hollow will be on tonight. Caleb won't be on until Sunday because he's a bitch.
Because I have other things to do. But, and I got to wait till I get paid tomorrow to pick it up. But then I'll be gone. I'll be on. I'm also probably going to be running characters with two different groups. And I'm trying to coordinate that. Mostly with you guys, but also with some other people. So I'm trying to coordinate that. But there'll be a lot of Borderlands going on next few weeks.
Fuck you.
Dude, everybody's up on Borderlands 3 is going to be the hype of shit. Everyone's going to be up on this game.
I know. We've been talking about playing Borderlands 3 together
for 6 months.
Since those original test screens came out. We were like, yeah, when it comes out, we'll play through it. Don't worry.
Yeah, what was that, a year and a half ago?
Almost 2 years ago at this point.
When they were like, it's coming, but they couldn't say anymore because they couldn't get it to fucking work for another year.
Before they even said it was coming, remember they were at GDC, and they were like, check out this new tech stuff, and it was a dude running around Pandora, clearly?
Yeah, and they didn't legitimately say it was coming.
They were like, this isn't Borderlands, they even said this isn't Borderlands 3.
I think they did, or I think they just, refused to answer the question, but it was, very clear, this is Borderlands 3.
Yeah.
But, it's been, anyway, it's taken a long time for them to put this together.
30 hours, supposedly, the main storyline.
Okay. That's good. You can do that.
There's, 1,001 pieces of endgame in this game.
1,001 what pieces?
Pieces of endgame. There's something called Mayhem Mode, the enemies get stronger and the loot drops get better.
Huh.
There's different tiers of Mayhem Mode, kind of like Diablo.
Okay.
Except it's Borderlands, not Diablo, so it's less repetitive.
I appreciate that. I'm looking forward to a more complex, more tactical Borderlands. Because I love Borderlands, but after jumping between Borderlands 2 on one hand and then the Division 2 with you on the other over the past several months, I could really use a more tactical Borderlands.
We're not getting a tactical Borderlands.
It's slightly more. It's much more than the other ones.
Hopefully.
Which is nice.
It's not going to be... Don't think that you're going to turn this game on and play The Division.
I'm not going to play The Division, but I will at least have options beyond stand or squat behind cover awkwardly.
Yes.
And that's what I appreciate.
The biggest, the reviews have come out. The biggest complaint I've heard is that the game feels really fun when you're running around, gunning down nobodies. But the minute you get to a boss battle, it grinds to a halt because there's, a strategic pattern to beating bosses.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. I can see that.
But I'm cool with that. I'm cool with having to have a strategy that's not just run up and shoot it in the face.
Yeah. Which was pretty typical of a lot of the post-game super bosses in 2, but not the main game.
What do you mean?
From what I remember. Some of the post-game bosses in 2 were pretty intense as far as having to be somewhat tactical and having to have some kind of strategy as opposed to just running and gunning, I remember.
The hardest boss was Terra, whatever the fuck his name was.
Terramorphous?
Yeah. And the only reason he was hard was because he could knock you down, and it took forever to run back to him. But the biggest...
Yeah.
The reason that all the post-game Borderlands bosses were hard was because they were just bullet sponges.
Yeah, exactly. And they could wipe you in, one hit.
Yeah, it wasn't the fact that, learn this strategy and jump and dodge and jump and dodge and read what he's doing. It was more like, run around, hope that you don't get killed, and hope you have enough bullets.
Exactly. Yeah.
I just hope that's not how any of the bosses in Borderlands 3 are.
I too hope they're not like that. So far, it sounds like they may not be. I guess we'll see.
But that's what we're on the eve of. That's, like, the big thing that I know I'm really excited for. I don't know what your excitement level for BL3 is.
My excitement level is pretty high. I'm just trying to find time to get around to playing it with people and coordinating this, which is why I said, well, I'll probably jump on Sunday afternoon and get started with the character. Yeah, I'm excited for it. I just have a lot of other things I'm juggling right now. But I will get to it. I will
When is your life slowing down, K-Train?
I don't know if it will, but I'll try to keep you posted on when I get free nights.
That works.
It kind of cleared up a little bit recently, but then I started playing FF8 with my buddy who wants to play as much as possible. We're like 10 hours in. I gotta find some time in between that to go on dates. But that's neither here nor there. We'll figure it out. We got some time. I do want to get through it once, if not twice, before Death Stranding comes out in 2 months. But I think we can do that. I think it's doable.
All right, so you're still playing... you're still planning on playing Death Stranding?
Yeah, but that's not coming out until November 20th. Are you not as hyped for Death Stranding anymore?
Oh, I'm not picking up Death Stranding when it comes out.
No?
No.
Because Borderlands?
Borderlands, Link's Awakening, yeah.
Yeah, we talked about this last week. I don't know when I'm even going to get to Link's Awakening. As much as I want to play Link's Awakening.
I wish that it was coming out sooner than later, because I have to take the train to Philly again on Thursday, and it's not out yet on Tuesday.
No, it's out on Friday, right?
Yeah, it'll be from tomorrow.
Yeah. It's here, though. It's coming.
It's here. I'm excited.
It's not even the thing I'm most excited for. But it's coming.
Are you most excited for hoverboarding baby mama drama?
I am pretty excited for hoverboarding BB, but I'm mostly focused on Borderlands 3 right now as far as the next couple months. Like Death Stranding is in the back of my mind, but I'm not super focused on it because that's 2 months from now. I can worry about that when we get there. Right now I'm just trying to find time to get to Borderlands 3.
Yeah,
because I know everybody's gonna be jumping on that. But you know what is on my mind at least a little bit after seeing some footage earlier today. Speaking of Final Fantasy, what'd you think of that new 7 trailer for Tokyo Game Show?
I don't care.
you don't care.
Yeah. Why don't you care? We've heard about the remake for 7. Like, I remember when 7 came out, like, originally. And I'm 32. And I've been hearing about a Final Fantasy 7 remake, no lie, rumors and stuff, for, like, 16 fucking years. So that's, like, half of my life. I'm ready for them to just be like, okay, here's the game. Like, I don't need new trailers. I don't need this. I don't need that. Just fucking shut your mouths until March 20th and release the fucking game. Like, this game needs no marketing budget. This game needs no advertising. It's a remake of 7. Stop showing me all of the game before the game comes out. Like, I would have loved for them not to have shown me Reno and Rude and me have gotten to see them for the first time when I played through and went, oh my god! Like, I don't know. And they show the destruction of the slums at the very end of the trailer.
They do show the destruction of the slums, like, which I had kind of forgotten about.
I was like, what the fuck? I was like, why are you showing me this? Why are you showing me the end of your game?
Yeah, I guess I could see that.
Because that happens right before you leave Midgard.
Yeah, it does. And then you gotta sneak into... and then you storm Shinra headquarters, and that's the big final scene in Midgard before you leave.
Yeah.
That's going to be the end game dungeon, I assume, is Shinra headquarters, because of how they seems to be shaping up in terms of overall plot and the slice of game they're working this from.
Who was the old dude that projected himself?
That was the head of Shinra, whose name I can't remember now, the president, who is a much more chubby character in Final Fantasy VII originally.
Not the guy in the wheelchair in Advent Children.
No, that's his son. That's Rufus.
Right. That's, I was like, why is, because like, he's like, I'm the president of Shinra. And I was like, isn't that Rufus?
He's meant to look much fatter, I think, in the original Final Fantasy VII. He just goes by President Shinra.
Does he just go by President Shinra?
He just goes by President Shinra. Yeah, oh. and he's pretty fat in terms of his appearance.
Oh, yeah. He's definitely fat in, I see now. Okay. The dude in the red suit. Okay.
Yeah.
Is Rufus gonna be in this game?
I assume so. I thought we were gonna get to see him in this trailer, but maybe not.
They showed us the other Turks.
They showed us all the other Turks. They did. They showed us some summons. They showed a new soldier character, it looks like. They showed a bunch of stuff.
So, I don't know. I'm pumped to play it. I just want them to shut the fuck up and just let me play it already.
I think they are very, very carefully breadcrumbing footage and stuff from it to keep people hype heading into the release. I think they want to try to build it up as much as possible, and they're trying to do that. I can understand not really caring too much if you played the game, obviously we did as teenagers, and you're just looking forward to playing it. I appreciated it. I was honestly just shocked how much it seems to imply there actually will be to do in Midgar and how big of a game this will be, even though it is just focused on Midgar.
We're not going to Cloud and Tifa's hometown in this one, right?
I doubt it, but I don't entirely know where it ends. I assume it ends when you leave Midgar from how they described it. But it's, 40 to 60 hours in Midgar is a lot. So I was kind of curious how they were going to fill that out, but,
Stop showing me and let me figure it out myself.
It looks like they're putting together a lot of content to do that, which is fine. The Corneo showing was nice.
At the very end of that, they were like,
yeah, but they didn't show Squall and Drag. They didn't do that.
They did not show Cloud and Drag.
No, Squall.
Too much eight, buddy. Too much eight.
No, Cloud is the arrogant, cocky kind of dick, whereas Squall is the emo, selfish asshole.
Yeah, Squall is just. I hate Squall's character.
I love his character because of his character arc, but at the very beginning, he is such a prick. He's 100% emo, just super uninterested, or super uninterested in anybody else kind of person. He's fun. He's a fun character. But Final Fantasy VII, coming on March. 6 months away.
Yeah. I can't believe that's almost here.
I can't believe that's almost here either.
I can't believe fucking Borderlands 3 comes out fucking in, like, 3 hours.
Yeah, it does. It totally does. It's exciting. Exciting times. But I think we got some other stuff going on. Tokyo Game Show was this week and heading into this weekend.
That's where 7 came from. That's why we were talking about 7.
That's why we were talking about 7. I was going to potentially segue into some other stuff they were showing off, if you wanted to talk about it. Some of the other things happening. I don't know if you've seen too much of what has been going on.
You mean like Project Resistance?
We can talk about Project Resistance.
We have to. It's fucking. This is the game. This is GDX, and it's a new Resident Evil project. And it's me and you.
Yeah. We got to talk about Project Resistance. So we got a leaked trailer, I think, last week, which I didn't even watch because I was like, it told me what it was, and that was about as much as I cared until the official trailer came out. Uh-huh. And then we got the official trailer this week, which showed what it was and gave us some details and everything. And Project Resistance, of all things, is not technically an Outbreak spiritual successor as we hoped. I guess it kind of is in a way, but not really.
It's not.
It is an asymmetrical multiplayer shooter game.
But it's different.
But it is different.
Because it's not asymmetrical in the terms that we know an asymmetrical shooter to be.
Correct.
So you have 4 players. That is kind of the asymmetrical multiplayer game template that we have. You know, like a jock, a motorcycle person, a nerd, and whatever. The enemy is called the Mastermind, mm-hmm. and they lay traps and shit in your path from a control room, and they're watching you on CCTV cameras.
Yes.
That sounds fucking awesome.
It seems fine.
That sounds fucking awesome.
It seems fine. It's not my kind of game, but it sounds like, I know it's a kind of game that's really popular these days, and I'm sure it'll do well.
It'll be free on PlayStation Plus in like 2 or 3 months after it launches. It's fine.
Yeah. I hope it does well, and if this is the kind of game that they need to make so that they can make Resident Evil 8 and remake 3, then that's fine. So be it.
I just want the remake.
I would also really like 3 Make. Yeah, cool. I'm slightly nervous about 3 Make, but I guess we'll see. I hope it'll come, but I assume it'll come.
I'm gonna say that 99% chance that 3 Make comes.
I would say there's like a 50% chance that they carry over everything from Resident Evil 3 into Resident Evil 3 Make. Because of how weird that game is. And this is something I've been mulling over the past few months and something that I'm very uncertain about.
I just think that they're going to take the assets that they have from Remake, you know, RE2 Make, and bring those into Make 3.
I think they will, but what I'm talking about is that when you really think about it, 3 had a lot of weird mechanics and systems that was literally them just throwing as much shit at the wall as they could. And most of them worked out pretty well. Some of them were kind of weird.
But it was
this very different kind of game.
What are we talking about?
We're talking about Resident Evil 3 Nemesis.
What system?
Resident Evil 3 Nemesis?
Yeah, what system? There was some of the
ammo mixing systems. There was a lot of the item systems worked kind of differently.
But ammo mixing was in 2 too.
Ammo mixing was in 2. They did kind of carry that forward. There's a couple others I'm kind of blanking on. But I do remember a lot of weird things getting thrown in 3 just to kind of see, because they wanted to mix it up from 2 just to kind of see how it worked.
I just remember 3 being playing exactly like 2.
I remember it being this weird kind of evolution of it that was then kind of forgotten once they moved on to Code Veronica and they brought back a lot of the old systems.
Code Veronica is the one that I remember being like, this does not feel like Resident Evil completely. This feels kind of weird.
Well, I think with Resident Evil and Code Veronica, mechanically it's still the same, but they did different things with it visually because it was a move to a new console. Whereas mechanically, 3 was not really what. It was similar than 2. It still had the general game structure was kind of similar, except for the fact that you're running through the streets instead of having like a base you're working through. It's like pretty much more linear. Well, not linear. It's more like lots of hallways you're weaving through and not necessarily going back to areas. But I remember them throwing some weird stuff in there here and there that did not get carried into even little tiny things like being able to walk upstairs without having to press the button.
Right.
Which is not in Code Veronica. You literally had to press the button in Code Veronica to go up the stairs. But we'll see how 3 comes out.
Who knows?
I think it'll still be good.
Yeah. But Project Resistance, I think it sounds cool. I'm not going to play it, but that sounds dope as fuck. They're not just like, okay, it's Left 4 Dead, there's a team of zombies, there's a team of survivors, go. I like this that they're trying something different with this mastermind mechanic.
Yeah. No, it's a creative approach. And if they can jump into that market, you know, more power to them.
What else we got from the Tokyo Game Show?
We got so much stuff from Death Stranding.
Oh,
I don't care.
There's hoverboards.
We have so much stuff.
There's hoverboards.
There's hoverboards. You can ride on hoverboards. Pretty hype. We got a 7-minute trailer introducing 2 other characters, and we got an hour of gameplay footage that apparently shows off most of the game in terms of mechanics and gameplay.
I heard that there's like combat and stuff in it too.
Yes. I have not seen it because it's an hour long and because apparently it's in Japanese with no English subtitles. But I've heard it's really bizarre and people are into it. I do need to see that trailer later on. But I don't want to necessarily spoil all the gameplay mechanics before I jump in.
We're talking about Death Stranding, and I will play Death Stranding. But I don't want to keep talking about this game because the best part of a Kojima game, especially a new Kojima game, is going in blind.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yes. Okay. And this is the most Kojima of all the Kojima games.
Because he made it. Because he Kojima'd the Kojima.
He really Kojima'd himself for this one.
like, he's producing, too.
Yeah. There are no strings attached to him in this case. He's just going as far off the wall as he can.
It's developed, produced, and created by Kojima.
Is it really?
Yeah, it's whatever the, what's his, like, his, like,
is it Crusader
helmet? Yeah, that Crusader helmet.
Oh, it's Kojima all the way down.
Yes, it is Kojima all the way down. There's nobody to tell him no this time.
There's nobody to tell him no.
Right, which scares the shit out of me.
Yeah, it's, I think it'll be good, I think it'll be fun. I think at the very least, it'll in some ways remind us of Deadly Premonition.
The only people that might have a say in this that tell him no is Sony, but they're not going to, because they're publishing.
No, they don't want to. They just want to see what he does.
Developed by Kojima Productions. Directed by Hideo Kojima. Produced by Hideo Kojima. Designed by Hideo Kojima. Written by Hideo Kojima. Yeah. Alright? That's the wiki. Jesus Christ.
Oh, yeah.
All Kojima all the time.
Yeah, Kaz Hirai is over in the corner watching him while he's doing all this shit, and he's like, wait, no, we can't let him do that, and Mark Cerny's like, no, just let him do it. It'll be funny.
Awesome.
And just stopping them from changing anything. It'll be funny.
You know what it reminds me of? And I really hope Sony's doing it this way. You know when your friend gets really drunk and he starts doing really stupid shit? And you're just like, we should stop him, but let's see where this goes.
Yeah, let's see how this plays out. I think we should just roll with this.
Just let him go. He's not hurting himself, right? No, he's not hurting himself. Then he's fine. Is he hurting other people? No? No? All right, let's watch him. Let's see what he does. Dude, is he really going to do that? I think he's really going to eat that dog shit. All right, he's eating the dog shit. All right. You know what I mean? Like, this... Yeah. Death Stranding is either going to be the best game that anybody's ever played, or it's going to be white dog shit.
Or it's going to be a total opaque, nonsensical mess, and it'll be beautiful.
Did you see the new Shenmue 3 trailer?
I did not. I saw that it got a new trailer. Shenmue 3 is one of those games where I don't really know what to think about it. I never played the first two. I just heard that Yakuza is, like, a better version of them.
Shenmue 3 looks like shit.
I had heard that about some of the earlier trailers.
Even the new trailer looks like shit.
Does it really? Oh, no. This game that people had wanted for years and crowdfunded. Oh, yeah, no, it doesn't look amazing. Even just from the screenshots. Is anybody out there hyped for Shenmue 3?
There's people out there. I was until I was like, actually, I went back and played like the first or the second one. I was like, oh, this game's not good.
The first one, well, they're like really clunky, right?
Yeah. They control really badly. Like, I remember playing Shenmue 1 on Dreamcast and being in love with that game and playing the shit out of that game. And then I went back to play it like as an adult and I was like, oh, those are definitely rose-tinted glasses.
Yeah, I remember being really ambitious, but not necessarily working out, but people liking it because of how strange and ambitious it was at the time. But, I don't know.
They did announce that Neo 2 is coming in early 2020.
That was actually what I was going to segue to before you decided to talk about Shenmue 3 and its dog shit trailer.
I had to bring something up. I'm so pumped for Neo. Like, you know how much I love that first game.
Yeah. I don't know if I can necessarily say with absolute certainty because I never finished Sekiro, but I feel kind of like Team Ninja. Team Ninja is the one working on Neo, right?
Yes.
The Ninja Gaiden team.
Yes.
I want to say that Team Ninja won the Samurai Souls War, because Neo is a lot better mechanically than Sekiro.
Yes.
As much as I love Sekiro's world and its lore, Neo is way better mechanically.
Which is so sad to say because we were so pumped for Sekiro.
I still love Sekiro's world and I do want to finish it at some point.
Just Neo is the best samurai game.
Yeah, it is just so unique and demanding in its mechanics in a way that none of the FromSoft games are. And I respect that and I appreciate it, but it is just very, very, what's the term? It's very particular in how it wants you to play.
It's very pretentious. That's how I describe Sekiro as pretentious. Like, there's a certain way that it wants you to play. If you don't play it their way, fuck you. You're going to play it this way, or you're not going to play at all, so go fuck yourself.
Yeah, I guess I could do that.
Whereas, like,
it's one way to look at it.
Every other, like, Soulsborne game, if you want to fucking run in with a giant club naked and just fucking roll and beat the shit out of people, you can. If you want to cast magic from the outlines, you can. If you want to dual wield scythes and fucking shoot fire out of your dick, you can. And in Sekiro, it's like, fuck it, you have to play this way or you will die.
Yeah. Which isn't the worst thing in the world, but it is frustrating coming from a game company that gives you so many options and is really creative in the options they give you. Even Bloodborne, which was much more hemmed in as far as your options, still gave you some sense of variety in terms of how you could tackle stuff. Not nearly as much, but you had some options here and there. Whereas Sekiro is just like very particular, in a way that you kind of have to just learn and deal with. Which I'm not necessarily against, but it's not what I wanted in a From Software game.
Like, my biggest problem with Sekiro is that I don't like the pattern that they make you play. It's not a fun, it's not a fun cycle.
Yeah.
Like, it's not a fun loop. That's what I was looking for. It's not a fun gameplay loop. It's a frustrating gameplay loop.
Yeah, which is unfortunate, because that game is one of the most fully realized I think they've ever made, in terms of its world. I'm watching all these lore breakdowns from Vati Video, and I'm like, this is amazing. Why did I stop playing this game? And I'm like, oh yeah, because I got stuck on that monk with three forms.
Did you fight the monkey?
I don't know what I was doing. I did. I beat the monkey. It was a struggle, but I did it, and I was kind of hyped. And then immediately, I had to go fight a corrupted monk with three forms that smashes you really quickly. I'm at the very front of the. Well, so there's the ghost form, which you fight in the depths, in the village, and then there's the one you fight in front of the temple on the mountaintop, on the bridge.
Okay.
And that is what you get to after. So there's three main branches. After you go through all three main branches, then you get to like a holy temple on a mountaintop. And the first thing that happens when you get there is you have to fight the real version of that monk, and it has three forms. And it is very frustrating. And I guess a lot of people like that fight, but I got there after fighting the monkey and immediately was like, oh, it's another dead end for a while.
Did you, spoilers for Sekiro, were you surprised when you got up to the samurai from the beginning of the game?
The samurai from the beginning of the game. Genichiro?
Yeah. And you just kind of play him and, like, beat his ass, and you're like, oh, really? Is that the end of him? Does he show back up?
I actually struggled with him. It took me a while to take him down. I was locked on him for, like, a month. Because, like, I played for a couple hours and was like, I don't know about this. And I came back a month later and finally beat him. And then, well, you beat him, and then the three more paths broken up.
Right.
I don't know. I was honestly shocked when, speaking of spoilers, how far have you gotten? Have you fought your mentor yet?
Probably. It's been a long time, dude.
Because you fight Genichiro.
Is that the guy you fight in the samurai, in the cemetery?
No. So you fight Genichiro on the top of the castle.
Yep.
And then it opens up a bunch of other branches. You go down the other branches, and then you come back to the castle, and it's on fire, and it's been taken over.
Yep.
And then you have to fight your mentor on the rooftop.
Oh, he's the dude you fight on the rooftop.
To kill you.
Yes.
Yeah. Because I was gonna say I thought that fight in particular was super fun because it actually makes you use a lot of your equipment and be really creative with it. And I beat him on the first try, but a lot of people didn't like that fight at all, and I was very confused. But then I got to the monk, and then I stopped playing. But I'll come back to it.
What else do we got to talk about tonight?
We were going to talk about Neo before we sidetracked onto why why the mechanics in Neo are better than Sekiro.
Alright, talk to me about Neo.
So, Neo looks super interesting. I mean, Neo 1 was a good game. Mechanically, it was really well made, just owing to the people who created it, Team Ninja. Neo looks to be bigger and better in every way. You have a character that you get to create on your own. You get to fight some crazy, crazy bosses from what I've seen in this trailer. I don't know if you saw it?
I have not seen the trailer. I just heard that it got a release date.
Yeah, early 2020. So probably like spring, like March or April.
As long as it stays out of Cyberpunk's way, we'll be okay.
Yes. But they show off a lot of the crazy stuff you get to fight, and some of it's just bonkers.
Yeah.
Like approaching some of FromSoft's craziest fights, which is exciting, because they're really, really leaning into the Japanese folklore with this one.
I'm really excited. I'm really excited to play more Neo. I like Neo. I was playing Dark Souls 2 with Dawn watching. She made my character, by the way.
Did she?
Yeah, she named it. She chose everything about it. The character's name is Alligator for a reason, because Dawn wanted to name it Alligator. But that's the pyro I was playing. And I got up to like a human-sized enemy, and I was like, fuck, 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 this fight's going to be hard. And she's like, what do you mean? It's not a big, nasty, scary monster. And I'm like, no, in From Software games, the more human-sized the boss, the harder it is.
Yeah. You don't want to fight human people in the game, the FromSoft games.
No, you don't want to fight human-sized people in the FromSoft games. You want to fight those giant, like, dudes who you can walk underneath and their attacks miss you. Those are the ones you want to fight.
Yeah, exactly.
Not the ones where you have to have skill to beat.
No, not those ones.
But I'm really glad that Neo's going to lean more heavily into the Japanese mythology.
I'm trying to remember, in the first one you mostly just fought, like, dudes, right?
And
like
slightly larger dudes. No, it was all demons. It was all demons.
Okay. Was it? Well, yeah, some of the bosses,
yeah. No, even, like, the normal dudes were Oni possessed.
Oh, that's right. Okay. But in terms of, like, how they fought and stuff.
The reason that, that I really liked Neo was because when, like, some of the enemies would die, like, their heads would explode and there'd be, like, they'd become a new creature.
Oh,
it was very Resident Evil 4-ish.
Yes. Okay, I do remember that. That game was a while ago.
Yeah. Are we still in Nippon?
I believe so. I assume so. I don't know how it's going to tie into the first one. That's one thing that doesn't seem to be too clear.
Because at the end of the first game, your samurai, like, gets off of... You're an American in the first game, aren't you?
Yeah. Yes. Or you're English.
European.
It's the 1600s. So there were many. You a white man.
You a white man.
You're Caucasian.
So, I was trying to find out if... Do we know if this game takes place before or after?
None of that seems to be clear. We're mostly just getting gameplay footage as opposed to much of the story. Okay. From the trailer. Or if we do get gameplay, if we do get story stuff, it's in Japanese and there's no subtitles.
Oh, lovely.
We'll get there.
Wasn't the last boss of Neo also Nobunaga? No, it was Orochi. Imata no Orochi.
No, Nobunaga was one of the bosses, though, wasn't he?
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah. But there's some other stuff going on, part of Tokyo Game Show and other things. Did you see that Celeste is getting a Chapter 9?
I did. I don't think it needs it.
You don't think it needs it?
No.
It's got 100 new levels.
I don't think it needs it.
And it's free. Okay.
Like, the reason Celeste is so good is because of, like, it's finite and it ends and that's it. And then now they're like, oh, there's an extra chapter. I don't get.
Yeah, I don't know either. I did not play Celeste. I saw like the first hour of it on a Let's Play. It looked pretty interesting. I guess people wanted more of a goodbye for these characters.
But she's off the mountain already.
Yes, but I guess that's not enough for some people. I don't know. But you know what also is getting DLC that potentially doesn't need it?
What's that?
Kingdom Hearts 3.
I'm okay with that.
You okay with that?
I'm okay with that. I've heard about this. It's going to explore more into the organization, which I'm really down for, especially after Kingdom Hearts 3.
I can get down with that.
So if it explores more of what's going on in what's going on with the organization and Xibar and all that stuff, I'm really excited to get more into that.
Okay. I think that's just coming winter is what they said. But it should be a nice send off for the game.
Oh, you know what game I'm really looking forward to? We were talking about this earlier and it fucking just popped in my head. That yeah. Guilt game. Greedfall.
Yes.
Yeah, I watched like the first 2 hours of that game and I really want to play that game.
Yeah, I was reading some of the reviews. I heard it was...
Oh, are the reviews up?
I heard it was very much a budget RPG, but if you're okay with that, it's very entertaining. And it has a very cool world.
What do you mean that it's very budget?
Well, it's not from the same people who made, like, what was that pirate RPG series?
There's a pirate RPG series?
Yeah. That I can't remember the name of. But it's at that same level of technical, like, what is it? Yeah, it's apparently a little janky, but it's still really fun.
Oh, I'm on Metacritic. I want to see what people gave it. It's got a 73 on Meta, which isn't terrible.
Yeah.
Fucking IGN, there is... You know what this reminds me of, reading some of what people are writing here?
What?
Kingdom Come Deliverance.
Yes. Yeah, I can see that.
So, like, in a year, I'll pick this game up for, like, $30, and it'll be a great game because it'll be fixed.
Yeah, yes.
But don't buy it now. Play Borderlands 3 instead.
Yeah, that sounds right. That's a good call from my experience. Last of Us Part 2 is getting a media event on the 24th in two weeks.
That's cool. So are they going to announce PS5 there, too?
I wondered about that because it sounds like somebody allegedly close to Sony let loose that is not the only Sony thing happening that week, which makes me think console.
I don't think that they're ready to announce a PS5 yet, though.
No, but I really wonder if they're just going to push this game to PS5 at this point.
No, they've said multiple times that Last of Us 2 is not. If it releases on PS5, it will also release on PS4.
Okay. Makes sense. I think they showed this game off a little too early, to be honest. Because we've been watching this for, like, what, 2, 3 years?
3 years now, I think.
Going on 3 years of this game, waiting for more info, or, like, waiting for a solid release date. I assume we're going to get one, and I assume it's probably going to be close to, like, the other one, which came out early summer. It's going to be, like, maybe a May or a June release date for next year. And then the console's coming for the holiday season.
I think that we get Last of Us this year. I think it's it's holiday 2020.
You think they're really going to push for that at this point?
Yeah, I think we're going to get Last of Us 2 holiday 2020, and then PS5 gets announced this summer with a either winter or spring 2021 release date.
I can see that. That would make sense. I guess we'll see in 2 weeks.
Yeah. I think that more likely, because the rumor for a while has been that Sony is making a new handheld. I think that we get that revealed before we get PS5.
Is that really the rumor?
Yeah, it's been a rumor for a while that Sony is looking into making a new handheld.
I don't know why they'd necessarily try at this point. Unless PS5 is a handheld, like the Switch, but I don't know if they want to play that game against Nintendo.
From what I heard, it's going to be a PS4 in your hand.
Huh. Okay.
So imagine Sony's console, and it'll be, from what I heard, it'll log into your, don't take any of this as gospel, stuff I've heard, all of this is rumors.
Okay.
You will be able to log into your PSN, like your PlayStation Network account, and anything that you have downloaded that runs on PS4 will be able to run on the handheld at launch.
I could see that being a decent seller.
And it's like a $200 system.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that wouldn't be a bad idea. Just immediately making all best affordable.
Congratulations, you are now, if you have a digital library, congratulations, it's now all digital. It's now all mobile. It's now all portable.
Ooh, that wouldn't be a bad idea at all.
I'd buy one.
I might have to think about that.
Dude, if I could play Borderlands on the train, or if I could play one of the 272 games that I own via PSN, I'd be down with that. Including PS2, PS3 stuff? Fuck yeah.
Yeah. Like, damn.
It's the one thing that I've always said that Sony's done it right when it comes to their online infrastructure. When PSN first launched, you had a PSN name, you log in, your password, and so far, over every console cycle since the fucking network adapter PlayStation bullshit, it's been the same fucking account through all three systems. And, like, you can go on and be like, hey, look, I bought this on PS3 back on PS3's launch. That's the coolest fucking thing. Whereas, like, Nintendo is not like that. Microsoft is, but Nintendo is not.
No. No, they're not. Okay, well, I guess we'll see what happens in a couple weeks or in the next few months, depending on when this thing's coming out.
You got anything else you want to talk about before we get out of here? We've been chatting for about an hour.
Yeah, let me just double check real quick. The Sega Genesis Mini is just about to come out.
I want it.
Apparently it's really good. It has like 32 games and a lot of them are really solid.
Rocket Knight is on there and they have not released Rocket Knight anyplace else.
Yeah.
And I fucking want to play Rocket Knight so bad.
I have pretty much all the classics and then some from what I've seen, including both Mickey Illusion games, which is pretty fantastic.
Yeah.
There's a big sale right now on PSN for Japanese games, for anybody who's curious.
TGS! Celebrate TGS!
You know what's the highlight of the news this week? Highlight? Jeff Keighley's Game Awards are coming back this December.
Oh, fuck that guy.
Get excited. Hopefully we might get a few decent reveals out of it. I can't even remember what they revealed last year.
That's almost as exciting as the news of people who aren't buying Borderlands 3 because of Pitchford. Pitchford's kind of a dickhead, and he's kind of an asshole. But he's one dude at a company of hundreds of people that make this game. Just fucking buy the game. It's one dude. People think that Pitchford, like, created Borderlands, and he didn't. He's just the face of Gearbox.
No.
He's the face of Gearbox. It's the only affiliation between him and Borderlands is it's a Gearbox game.
Yeah. Say what you will about Gearbox. They do this one thing in particular very well, and I'm okay with that. So I gotta hand it to him for Borderlands. One of the things that go ahead.
I bought, like, the deluxe edition, so I own the season pass already.
Nice.
Of course. Because I know I'm going to buy it. I knew I was going to buy it.
Yeah. I was going to say, from the reviews I read, it was mostly getting, like, 9 out of 10s, and it was like, it's Borderlands 2 with everything just bigger and better. If you like Borderlands 2, you'll probably like it. If not, there's not a whole lot new here, but it's bigger and better, so that's fine. I'm fine with that. That's 100% okay with me.
All right, we got Borderlands in, like, what, 3 hours? About 3 hours.
We're getting close. 3 hours and 8 minutes.
I got Borderlands in 3 hours and 8 minutes. I will be playing some tonight. If even for, like, an hour. I still don't know who I'm playing.
Let me know how it is. Figure out who you want to... I can send you some build guides. They're already leaking out.
Yeah, I know. I was reading some build guides.
Yeah.
But
some of them look pretty good.
I'm not sure if I want to do Amara or Moe's. I don't know if I want to do Amaro mode. I'll probably just play Amaro because I play a Siren as my main character in every Borderlands game.
That's why I thought you were going to go for it.
Yeah, I probably will play
Amaro. But
I just don't like punching things.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair.
Like, it's Borderlands, I want to shoot things. I don't want to punch things.
Yeah.
I heard that FL4K, or Flak,
yes,
is one of the craziest characters to ever be in a Borderlands game.
Is he really?
He's stupid unique. Yeah, because you have a pet with you at all times. He's like a combination of Mordecai and Zero, from what I heard.
Yeah, all of his techniques and stuff look really interesting. I'm really excited to get some time with him.
And the, like, new gunner guy is the only character that can have two active skills.
Yeah, I saw that. You can get rid of your grenades if you want two active skills instead.
Yep. But only one of the characters do that, not all of them.
Yeah, only him.
Only him. I don't know much about the other character.
Zane?
Zane, yeah.
Oh, wait, no, is that the one we just talked about?
Yeah, I think it is.
Yeah, oh, yeah, Zane, he can get rid of... Yeah, Zane,
Black you
get
rid of... Okay, yeah, Zane. Zane I don't know much about, but I don't know. I'm excited to play. I played through the pre-sequel? No, not pre-sequel. Tales from the Borderlands, just to get ready for this game, so I'm ready.
Yeah, apparently Zane is a mixture of Mordecai and Zero. So he's kind of an assassin sniper.
I heard that was Flack.
Flack?
Yeah, Flack is the sniper.
I heard Flack was more of a super mobile, like super aggressive kind of character.
That's what I heard about Mara.
Depending on how you play him. Okay.
And that Moe's is your normal, like Gunzerker character.
Okay.
I don't know. We'll find out in 3 hours.
We'll find out in 3 hours.
All right. Anything else you want to add to tonight's podcast?
Monster Rancher is getting remade for Switch.
That's cool.
The first one. I'm kind of excited.
How are you
going to
play Monster Rancher if you can't put discs in your system?
Oh, that's a fun. I didn't even think about that. I wonder how they're going to do that. Well,
how are you going to play Monster Rancher if you can't put discs in your system?
I don't know. I have no idea what the plan is.
Like, I like Monster Rancher, but how the fuck are you going to play Monster Rancher if you can't put discs in your system to get new monsters?
You know what, Chris?
That was the premise of Monster Rancher.
You know, Chris, I don't have all the answers here, okay? I just know it's coming. I don't know how they're going to make that work.
Are they going to release, like a NES CD-ROM drive for your Switch that you can put discs in?
I like the idea that it's not dead. But I guess we'll see.
I don't know. I still want to know how you're going to play Monster Rancher without a CD, without putting CDs to get any monsters.
Apparently, it'll work using the internet instead of using CDs.
That's nice.
Which is kind of cool, I guess. But I don't know. I want to be able to put in my parents' Garth Brooks CD and get a dragon. I don't know if I'll be able to do that anymore. But we'll see.
All right, guys. I think that's going to do it for tonight. If you want to get in touch with us, remember to send us an email to podcast@gamingdeath.com. You can like us on Facebook, Twitter, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Spotify, every place you get your podcast, you can listen to us there. And next week we'll be back again talking about actually playing Borderlands, hopefully together.
We'll play Borderlands.
All right, guys. That's going to do it for tonight. I'm Chris.
I'm Caleb.
Have a good night, everybody.
I guess.